And hello, everybody on YouTube. We have made it to Off the Hook Overtime. And I think everybody else has made it as well. Kyle, I see you over there on the other side of the room.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I see Gila.
Hey.
I see Rob.
I'm here, too.
And I even see Alex. Alex, are you actually there? Oh, my God. You know, you're basically pointing out everything that's wrong with Amtrak. They say they have Wi-Fi. They don't have Wi-Fi. I don't know what this is. It's not Wi-Fi. We could hear a little bit of train noise there, but couldn't hear him.
I know that he is frantically trying to get some more power on his device. So Amtrak and the entirety of the engineering staff on that train is working desperately to make sure that he has enough power to get through.
Look, they have power outlets. I know they have those.
They might even stop the train and, like, get power from some overhead wires or something.
They'll stop to kick him off. Alex, I see you again. Can you hear us? We hear noise. We hear noise, but it's not you we're hearing. There's something with your setup that is just not right. I don't think your microphone is on. We can hear the train, but we can't hear you.
I think he may be in dark territory or something.
No, but
I can confirm
him.
We're on YouTube.
We see him, and we can hear his voice very far in the distance, but it's not on.
So Rob confirmed we're on YouTube.
Yes, I heard him say
that.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Alex, we can't keep doing this all night long, so we either figure it out or we'll have to do this next week. Hopefully not on Amtrak, though. Yeah, okay, he's frozen. Our phone number, go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say, Alex, try voice only.
Why can't we connect on the telephone? I don't understand why we can't connect on the damn phone.
Because we're going to take calls.
Yeah, but we can at least say goodbye to him before somebody calls in. We could do that, right? No?
Theoretically.
Okay, so can we just call him and then have a finishing conversation with him, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, but you know it's not going to... You know what? Fine.
Let's just try it.
I will reserve my opinion.
Yeah. We can express your opinion on off-hook overtime feedback that follows this show.
You know, Emmanuel, in all the time I've been working with you on this program, you know, you have said so many wonderful things about trains and about Amtrak, and now I don't know if I'm convinced anymore.
Well, no, the trains are fine, and phones are fine. It's just when you put them together that can be a problem. Now, Alex, do we have you? Oh, for God's sake, Alex, we can hear the train. We can't hear you again on the phone. What is wrong?
I think he's having problems with his headset.
I think he's having problems with his vocal cords.
No, I think there's some interference or...
but you hear the sound, don't you? You hear the train. How do we not hear him?
Well, it's more static or...
All right, is this any better?
Yes. Oh, yeah, what the hell did you just do?
I stopped using the damn Bluetooth headset that I was using.
Why were you doing that? Yes, that was obviously the problem.
Well, it must have been, but it usually works perfectly fine. I think the problem before... I don't know what the hell's going on.
You're in a crowded train. There could be other people using the same frequency. You know, there could be interference. There could be mechanical things with the train that are interfering. There could be a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you sound so good now.
Well, the thing is, you know, I couldn't not use headphones before because we were on Skype. Right, so that's very difficult to do. Otherwise, you have to have the... the speaker on.
Yeah, but Alex, why do we need to be on Skype? The phone is fine. For radio, the phone is perfect.
Well, and there's the call, the audio-only mode on Skype, too. That was my thought, but I just was going with whatever people were requesting me to do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We're here now, though,
and
YouTube's there.
Yeah, while we have you, Alex, did you have any closing thoughts on the last story we were talking about?
I don't even remember what it was. I've been so flustered dealing with this goddamn train issue and going through tunnels and getting disconnected. We're talking about the additional indictment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to speak too much about it either because, you know, there still could be some crossover there with Virgil's case.
We don't have to talk about the case, but how about just this reach that the United States seems to have where somebody who's not even a citizen can be extradited to this country that they have not been to because our country says they violated one of our rules. If we say something critical of Russia, how do we not get extradited over there to face trial? It sounds like the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, and if you think about, you know, what's going on with Julian Assange, it's very similar, right? I mean, everything that he was doing was without the United States. Yet, you know, they were claiming that he helped somebody, namely Chelsea Manning, in the United States, try to break the law, try to access the computer systems without authorization, right? You know, or offered that assistance, I think, in the form of a rainbow table and or whatever it was. I haven't read the indictment in quite a while, but, you know, it is certainly problematic when you think about the issue of fundamental fairness and due process requiring something like, that's okay, something like to individuals about what the law is. I mean, how do we expect people in Spain and the UK to know what the law is in the United States and to guide their actions by it as well? It also seems like, you know, there's definitely notice issues here. And I think that if the extradition were to occur, these indictments certainly would be subject to attack. And I really would be interested in seeing how this plays out, because it does seem that, you know, that they're trying to use Virgil really as the nexus to the United States here.
Interesting. So, yeah. I guess my next question then is, what is it that prevents us from falling victim to this through another country?
Well, you know, it doesn't, right? I mean, there really is nothing, right? I mean, if you can be indicted in another country for doing something else.
Alex, whatever you did, you went back into Bluetooth mode or something. We've lost your voice. Wow, this is an incredible confluence of technology and how it doesn't work. Alex, I don't know if you can hear me, but if you can hear me, Alex, we can't hear you because it reverted back to what was before. All right. We're going to have to put an end to this. It's too much. So let's disconnect, and we'll give out our phone number, 802-321-4225, and we can talk to people who have working phones and can give us their opinions or feedback of one sort or another. 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. We're here on Overtime for a little while. And, any thoughts from you guys?
Well, I think we need to chip in and buy Alex a better Bluetooth headset. But beyond that, it's interesting. We've spoken a lot about Virgil's case and other cases being used as sort of scapegoats, as people in our community so often find themselves in these cases where they get completely irrational punishments for minor transgressions, and that's pretty sad. And I don't see that situation improving anytime soon. I'm not sure where we need to get out and protest to make that all better, but I'm open to ideas.
All right. Again, our phone number, 802-321-4225. I think the ringer's on. Is it?
It wasn't. I probably hung up on somebody.
Okay. We might have hung up on you. If we did, we're sorry. There we go.
Because we care so much.
Yeah, we do care so much. We care too much, I think. Go ahead. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey, greetings. It's Kirby S. for Etobicoke.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Up there,
how are you guys?
In Ontario, right?
That's it.
All right. Well, have the truckers gone?
Oh, the truckers are, yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
There's been some kind of raucous protests over the last couple of weekends, but I don't really know what's going on, and I've avoided the scenes.
I think that was Rolling Thunder, right, the motorcycle people?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Always something
I thought that was a roller coaster.
Wow. So what's new with you up there?
I guess spring's coming, spring election here. We have our premier who's guided us through the pandemic.
That would be what?
He's up for re-election.
Doug Ford?
Doug Ford it is.
Uh-huh.
He has little competition from the other parties, I'll tell you that much, and he's given out money and stuff in the last couple of months.
Okay, just giving out money.
No, really.
Wow.
He canceled a license plate fee for us in Ontario, so we don't have to pay $125 a year. And he gave back like 2 years worth of the previous license fee.
Gee,
so he got a check for like $240 about a month ago.
Wow. Now, let me just ask you a couple other questions about his positions. Does he support abortion rights, and does he support health care for all?
He does.
For both?
Yes. Yes, he does.
And this is a conservative.
He actually just made a statement about abortion rights, and he said that he believes in access for all.
This is as right-wing as it gets, pretty much, up in Canada, and yet the people there support abortion rights and health care. Yeah, it's all a matter of perspective, I guess.
Well, I guess you understand that there's a different tinge to it. It's conservative, it's right wing. There's a lot of the same concepts are there, but I mean, I guess maybe the motivations behind it are different, and that's why the reality is different. Or, you know, maybe here there's just less of an organized force that's trying to drive the political system and more of a personal, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, it's more controlled by the people.
But do you have a faction of people who are more like our right wing that, basically?
Certainly.
So where do they fit in the political spectrum?
So, I mean, the right wing party, there was a party in the federal level that was formed. I believe it's called the People's Party, and they were like the extreme right wing type of thing that, as far as it goes. And, they didn't even win a seat or anything along those lines, but they did receive, you know, you can say they received, I forget how many votes, but you know, a substantial number of votes, hundreds of thousands or whatnot.
Uh-huh. But they didn't get any power.
No, they didn't get any power. I mean, in Canada, it's pretty much the left and the right moving between center and back, trying to appeal to, you know, it's such a small scale in some of the ridings and stuff that it's really a region by region thing, very targeted, very organized. The parties, there's three main parties here. Mm-hmm. Two of them are really at competition. The medium left is the NDP party. The New Democratic Party is not really much of a force.
Wow.
So.
Well,
it's coming
sounds,
up.
It sounds so much better. Really, it sounds so much more sane.
It's not perfect, and it's not all great. I mean, he's crazy in his own way,
mm-hmm.
not because he's a right wing, mostly because he's a politician.
Yeah, but Doug Ford, you know, he was as right as it gets, as right wing as it seems to get in Canada, at least from our perspective. And yet hearing his mm-hmm. positions, his positions would be welcomed here by people on the left. It's just, wow, what a difference.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's a real middle of the road type thing here. It's not so extreme. And also, you know, the makeup, the religious makeup, everything in Canada is kind of on a smaller scale and a little bit less extreme, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
People just kind of go about their business here. It doesn't seem to be so inflammatory and us against them type of
scenario. This is something you might be interested in. Kyle was doing a bit of research on this. The place we went to a couple of years ago called Schefferville up in Quebec. It turns out they have infrastructure now that is basically better than anything around.
Yeah, it's really fascinating what's going on up in Schefferville, a place that we visited and we found so incredibly interesting. Basically, we were coming there in the fall and winter, and they had just had a summer of running fiber optics along the very train ride we were talking about and marveling about and documenting in our travel, our short trip up there. Fast forward, they've now rolled out, they've offered the service, even with all the distancing and crazy stuff going on with health. We were just first hearing about COVID emerging when we were with some of the residents of that community traveling back home for them and for us to this really unique place. So the name of their provider is Situn, and it is a really cool partnership for three different communities, Shefferville, Matemakosh, and Kawawachikamak.
That's not bad. That's really pretty good.
I butchered that.
You did better than anyone within 100 miles could have done.
My point is, it's really exciting for them, and I looked at some of the prices for broadband and stuff, and it's not like cheap, what we would consider affordable, but if you imagine a place that has nothing, that has incredibly expensive satellite, they are pretty competitive. If you're a household, if you're sharing, you know, with a couple neighbors, you can go in on something like this, and it's not bad and functional. They're rolling out, they just, out of huge demand, got IPTV. They're going to be adding 4G cellular service and stuff, which as travelers is really important to us. That's probably the most, common thing we would interface with their new network. But it struck me that a lot of these rural places are being encouraged to take on, like, Starlink and all these kind of new but less, let's face it, they aren't really terrestrial. They're outer space and resilient in some ways, but maybe less resilient in other ways. Perhaps there's room for all of them, but it struck me that had Starlink been really popular, this project may never have broken ground, and they just kept going as they did, and people will get satellite and other stuff once they're there, but they have this backbone in the ground, which is incredible, and they're building businesses on top of it, co-location and all kinds of services, and it's just amazing to imagine a place that hadn't had something and that is so far flung, and now infrastructure is just basically transforming the community, the ability to access the rest of the world, tell their stories, and make calls with IP phones and stuff. It's pretty cool. I guess they went from 300 initial subscribers, now they're up to like 500. So it's kind of cool that this thing didn't exist while we were traveling, and it's since turned into this whole new internet service.
We were there in January of 2020. Had you heard of Shefferville, Kirby?
I have from the other show.
Okay, yeah. For those who don't know, it's the northern part of Quebec. You actually take a train through Labrador, and it's a train that's run by the native community. It was bought from the Canadian Rail for, I think, a dollar, and they operate it now. And it's really the only way to get to Shefferville because it's pretty remote.
I'll just add, like, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones without technology because
as we demonstrated tonight.
As you recall, on that train ride, there was a hockey team, and they had game consoles and
it was
stuff.
A peewee hockey team. Let's not get excited.
They were hardcore.
Uh-huh.
And they would play these games. Well, now they can probably play those games online. We could probably play hockey against them online and get our butts kicked.
Yeah, I couldn't. I could not.
I would say our problem is nobody around here can get PlayStation, so it was pretty funny, or any console or something. I was kind of laughing to myself about that, but at the time it was like, wow, they're really into this, and now they've so many other opportunities with at least being connected, and we can, I don't know, maybe there'll be more businesses, maybe there'll be more like storytelling or uh-huh. radio stations. I'm thinking streaming radio.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I was really wondering, I was even going to see, you know, what other kinds of media, maybe there's been more
newspaper. I want to go back up there because, you know, when we went up there in January 2020, we could only stay overnight and go back the next morning because otherwise we'd have to stay 3 days because that's how often the train runs. Next time I'll stay the 3 days. I want to see what it's really like there and spend some time.
Yeah, we didn't really get to even go to like a cafe and really scope out different places and just try to, you know, have a regular day there exploring. But having been up there, it's something we're often thinking of when we hear from you. We're so excited because we're like, man, you know, I really want to go back up to the north a little bit and explore or say hi to people and stuff and just be on the road again.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to plans and certainly thinking of you up there.
Oh, that's cool. Definitely. You guys are always welcome. The whole squad, yeah.
Cool.
We try to keep
just
up.
To bring it back technology-wise in terms of what you're talking about and what we were talking about with Doug Ford is one thing I found out in Ontario and probably similar in the States is the province determines the growth of the building and the density of the building that's going to come. And then they create this document and they say, okay, this has to be, we have to develop this like this. We have to have this many people living over here by this year. We have to have this. And then it's up to the cities and the municipalities to implement what the province tells them they have to do.
Wow.
It was actually very surprising to me.
Uh-huh. And that's how it is throughout Canada.
At least in Ontario, I would assume that the other provinces have a similar type of relationship with the Development Board or Ontario. I forget what it's called. But I think that has a lot to do with what you're talking about with the fiber and stuff because, you know, within 2 or 3 hours of Toronto alone, let's just say, you know, it's pretty much maxed out and Ontario has to grow and things are warming up and the north is cold and it's getting warmer. And, you know, the natural progression is to drive all that growth northward. Mm-hmm. And Quebec and like Schefferville and all those places, I mean, that really is going to be heavily developed in the future, technology-wise, infrastructure and people, because, you know, the projections for population in Ontario are huge.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting.
Absolutely.
Even defense in the Arctic, like way up in Alert, on the edge of that, I mean, that is a huge priority for all the countries in North America and in this part of the world. As well, with shipping changing and those transit routes opening up,
mm-hmm.
all the exploration stuff that's going on as far as natural resources, it's different kind of rodeo.
And
of course, it's all melting too. So,
yes, but they're increasing the train services up to Timmins, and Moose and Knee, these kind of places. And normally, you'd have to go up and fly in for an hour on like a tiny little plane. Everything is super expensive.
Churchill's.
And, you know, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. There's such a big country to grow into.
Well, I heard there's a new train service up in northern Ontario. Is that right?
Or some, in regards to...
Somewhere in Ontario, I heard they were starting up a train service that hadn't been running in the
past.
Yeah,
that's the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. So, basically, up between... right now, you drive up north, you go to Timmins,
mm-hmm.
and between Timmins, you can take a train or a plane from there, or there was a train to Cochrane, and then you take a plane from there. And so basically, they're talking about making a direct link between Moosonee, a moose factory, and Timmins and Cochrane, so that it would just open it up.
Now,
you can't even drive a car up there. There's no road to get there.
Wow. Is that part of Via Rail or GO or something?
That I'm not sure.
Okay. And Kyle, you mentioned Churchill, which, of course, is the other native community, I think, in Manitoba that has a rail line. That's really the only way you can get there other than plane.
Yeah, it came to mind just in the conversation. It sounds it's another place we want to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Have not been on it. It, of course, it's a real serious... exposed, kind of out there trip, but that line has been repaired, and I know it's in service, and it is also native-owned, and just an interesting north-south route that is part of what you're talking about, just the needs and expansion of the country in general, but just, or naturally, as you said, in sort of a migratory way, but just yeah, having alternates then flying, which is incredibly costly in all regards, not exactly accessible to very many people at all.
So, I just did a quick look here, and on April 10th, 2020, the Ontario government of Doug Ford has announced they're investing $75 million to bring passenger rail service back to northeastern Ontario.
Wow. See, that's another thing.
So there
our right-wing people, they hate trains for some reason. I think I just don't like everything that I like. I think that's what it is. It's personal.
Trains.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they drive cars.
No, I mean, Wisconsin is a perfect example. They had all these initiatives to have commuter rail, and the Republican government vetoed every single one of them, and they just want people in their cars. They don't want anyone riding trains. It's nuts.
And to be fair, like, I mean, you know, I have a little fun and stuff, and Doug Ford's a bit of a buffoon, but mm-hmm. we have to remember that years ago, his brother, and with his support, you know, he derailed a project to build a light rail transit that was completely paid for by the province because they claimed that everybody wanted a subway instead.
Wow.
And so this subway ended up becoming this, like, political thing, and he's finally just broken ground on this subway that he's promised that is supposed to replace the LRT that was free that he canceled, or that his brother actually canceled, but he was.
This was where?
So, I mean, it's not all roses with these guys.
Wait, where was this? What city was this?
In Toronto.
Doesn't Toronto already have a subway?
In Toronto's East End, there's a region called Scarborough,
uh-huh.
and Scarborough is very poorly serviced by transit,
okay.
and it's the lower class areas and the lower income communities, they have to take bus after bus to get to the subway.
I see.
And so for years, there's been a kind of a, you know, we need to expand out there, and they had a free LRT that the province was going to pay for, and it was canceled. Now they're building this three-stop subway that's connecting them with the existing subway. So who knows?
You know, what I remember about the Toronto subway is just they have this antiquated paper ticket system. Do they still have that?
No. We're all on Presto now.
Okay.
The ticket collectors walk around the station now.
Uh-huh.
It's hilarious.
Okay.
They had to come out of their booths because there's nothing to do in the booths. Uh-huh. And now they're just wandering around, I guess, trying to be helpful or something.
Interesting.
Like an ambassador or whatnot, but they don't do anything.
Wow. Cool. Anything else to report from up there?
Anything else to report? The election, a lot of buildings going up. No, not too much. I don't know.
Okay. Are we going nice
to talk to you guys?
We're going
to
see you at Hope.
Yes, I'm coming, and I'm organizing a hacker poetry event.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. Hacker poetry.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So right now we're in the works. I'm talking to some people. We're going to organize at very least some kind of performance event where people will be encouraged to perform as well as some people we plan to perform.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, just one example of the many things you can do at a conference like Hope. And anyone who wants to get involved and do their own thing, hope.net is where you find out more information.
Very cool.
All right, Kirby, it was great hearing from you again, and look forward to seeing you in July.
Super, and hello to the whole team.
Yes, they're out there.
Hello.
They're quiet, but they're out there.
No problem.
All right.
Take care.
Talk to you later. Wow. I see we have an icon for Alex. Does that mean he's there, or just are we just looking at his icon?
He is auditing this part of the program.
Okay, all right.
Yes. He's here in spirit.
So he won't be getting a grade.
That's right.
Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. That's our phone number.
We're also available at Hacker Radio Show, as well as...
I don't know what this button does. I'm going to press this button up, but go ahead. Now you're louder, but the phone might ring on it.
As well as at HopeConf on Twitter.
And I think that's our Instagram, too. You see that noise. If I had the button pushed in, you'd be lower, but you wouldn't have heard that noise. Good evening. You're on Off Look Overtime.
Hello. It's Phil from Missouri.
Hey, how you doing? What's up with your world?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Oh, you know, with battling technology, other than that, we're fine.
Well, you know, did you hear about them doing a new James Dean movie using deepfake?
No, but it sounds horrible.
Well, it's the Hollywood Reporter has a thing on it.
I think Rob, you know something about this?
I just heard the sort of chattering about it, but please tell us more, caller.
Yeah, it's called Finding Jack, and it's a Vietnam action flick. And what they're going to do for the action part is they're going to have a body double, but the rest of it's going to be deepfaked. So they're going to deepfake his face and his voice.
Okay.
So basically, yeah.
Who wants this exactly?
I don't know, but, you know, I'm kind of curious how it'll work out. I mean, why James Dean? I don't know. Maybe because his likeness rights are about to come up or something like that.
It's got to be something like this, just nobody available to sue them. That's got to be something like that. And it's a test to see what they'll plunge into next. And before you know it, you'll just be seeing all your dead celebrities coming to life again.
Yeah, like Peter O'Toole. And like
let's not give them ideas, but yeah, anyone.
Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Tomorrow.
Yeah, but think about what can be done with living people, such as, well, say politicians running for office. Did they say that, or did they say something else? You'll never know.
Well, that actually happened over in Korea.
Yeah, I heard.
Also they did that with Brandon Lee. Remember when he died from the corona, they, like, digitally redid his face, the actor replaced him? This is kind of scary, I guess. I mean, what do your family do? I mean, what do they do to protect your likeness?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, it's just,
I have some feelings about that whole thing, just in general. And it's interesting because if you're curious about it, the most recent season of The Mandalorian, the Star Wars show, and you know, may the Force be with you, had some scenes which featured a young Luke Skywalker from the original Star Wars films. And what they did to achieve this was they had a double play the physical part of Luke Skywalker, but they popped a computer-generated face onto him, and then also computer-generated the dialogue. So it wasn't even Mark Hamill voicing his younger self. It was a robot, like Alexa, basically, speaking the lines. And there was a lot of reaction to this, with people thinking it just seemed a bit off, it seemed Uncanny Valley, and it just didn't seem very good. And I don't know if I want to sit in front of a whole movie of that, but James Dean.
Alexa, stop! Rob, please, you know, we've talked about don't say the word, because then she does things and I have to stop.
I just wanted to add that Alex has told me that misappropriation of another's image is a criminal offense in New York.
Well, you've back-channeled Alex?
No, I am a medium through which Alex speaks.
Oh, my God, this is getting out of control.
Yeah, it's off the metaphysics.
Uh-huh. Wow, and Rob, I happen to hear you say May 4th. Today is May 4th. May the 4th
yes,
be with you.
It is May the 4th. But
it's also the anniversary of Kent State Massacre, just so I can put things in perspective. Go ahead.
Man, and I didn't get you a card. The other thing about this, though, is that as someone who's into filmmaking and has done some work in that field, like, there are so many actors out there struggling for work who have talent and are just waiting for their shot and their chance. And rather than, you know, give one of those newbies a shot, they're going to computer generate somebody who is dead and has nothing to do with any of this happening.
Yeah, but one day those actors will die too, and then they'll have their moment.
There we go.
Yeah, it's
like my art career. I'll take right off after I'm dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it gets much more valuable. But it's a crazy world we're moving into. Let's just never forget that it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And just try to derail it at every opportunity, I guess.
Why not just, like, completely generate a whole new person like that Japanese company did with the singer a while back?
Or Max Headroom.
Yeah, I mean, just start from scratch. I mean, why even bother with this when you just start from scratch? I mean, the technology is about there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, you could have that fake person be your Facebook persona. You could have them have credit cards and be a real person, except they're not.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been watching the Johnny Depp stuff.
I've been trying to avoid it personally.
It's messed up. Today they were. She was like talking about how they went out to a trailer park. Apparently, rich people and celebrities have a trailer park they can go to in a place called Hicksville.
Hey! We have a Hicksville here on Long Island, so tread carefully. We're very sensitive to that name. It's a train junction too. There's you know three platforms, so it's a big deal.
So it's just strange that you know rich people are just like slumming it in like a double wide somewhere. I mean, it's just like I can't get around. It's like I keep thinking of the Squid Bill. You ever seen that show?
Yeah, whatever happened to that? They ran out of story.
They canceled it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I'm not to bring them Beavis and Butthead back.
Oh, did they have to do that? Really? Okay.
Yeah, I liked it back when I was young, but, you know, I don't know. I look back on it now, like, you know, Beavis and Butthead is just so tame now with what's considered edgy now.
That's true. Yeah, when The Simpsons first came on the air, that was controversial. There were petitions to stop them.
Yeah, I remember in middle school they kept us from buying T-shirts and wearing them to school. They said, well, you can wear a Simpsons T-shirt.
Wow.
I could see Mike Judge doing different stuff, but why go back to that? He's done so many other cool, different things. He could do something that's totally different from what Silicon Valley was.
He's going to bring back the King of the Hill, too.
King of the Hill?
Yeah, why do that again?
King of the Hill is on Family Guy this week for a second.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's...
There's already enough reference and derivative to it and
but
memes.
The story was unfinished.
Who
we
cares?
Need to know what happened to
there
Hank Hill
are
and
other stories.
Propane Accessories and Little Bobby.
Just do a movie.
Yeah, the King of the Hill movie. I'd go to that. I would.
Yeah, and then make a sequel. Make a couple sequels.
And
just franchise that puppy.
Yeah. A prequel, too.
Yeah.
How did it all begin?
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like to see a crossover of Jay and Silent Bob, the Trailer Park Boys, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where
okay.
They're trying to track down the best weed in Canada.
Uh-huh. In Philadelphia.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Sure. Let's have all kinds of crossovers.
Yeah, I mean... Let's see, there's not much else going on, I guess, besides the abortion stuff, but, you know, what can you do when you vote people in and they still don't do anything? You know what I mean?
Well, you're talking about people that would prevent this. I think it's because there not enough of them were voted in.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, I mean, it's going back to states' rights over, if that's what I understand.
And you're in Missouri, right?
Yeah.
So that's a state that
there's only one abortion clinic here anyway.
Yeah, and people are probably dancing cartwheels for what's happening there. But is there much opposition that you can see?
No, I don't listen to really radio out here or nothing like that, so I don't know what they're saying about it.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, you know my. The people I know back home, they're not really saying nothing about it, to be honest. All the same people who would put memes up like about abortion and stuff like that and the precious little angels and all that other stuff. And they haven't really said anything about it. It seems like the Republicans are mad because they didn't get to do a photo op more than anything else. That the leak, about the leak. It's because they didn't get to break the news themselves and go, ha ha, and here's their photo op.
That's incredible.
But it just doesn't seem to be dancing in the streets over anywhere I've seen. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I think the room was made without even put much thought into it, just to, you know, suit some political stuff or whatever, but like the polls say, most people want it.
Yeah, it's 2-1. It's funny because Fox came out with something yesterday that just basically said, no, it's not. It's this number. They basically made it up. They said, yeah, 52% of Americans support banning abortion. I don't know how they came up with a number like that, but every poll that I have seen, it's something like 64-65% are in favor of Roe versus Wade, and about 24% are directly opposed to it. So it's just insane when you have news outlets that just basically will make things up and spout that as fact, and a lot of people will believe it, and before you know it, in Orwellian fashion, it becomes fact.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, the news doesn't have to be honest. I mean, there's no law saying it has to be honest. I know that Biden did this thing with putting a disinformation department in Homeland Security or something like that.
Okay.
but that could backfire. I mean, you can get a bunch of crazy conservatives in there next time around, next election, right?
Yeah, the thing is, if votes matter, you know, if they actually count votes fairly, then that shouldn't happen. If people care enough to actually turn out.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, I don't know what it is about voting with Americans. I mean, nobody. We should just have it as a holiday, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we go through this every time. It should be on a weekend like every other country. It should be a holiday. It should be easy. But again, look who's preventing people from voting. Look who's trying to make it harder. It's Republicans. Because the fact is, when people turn out, Republicans lose. They want less people to turn out. They want their people to turn out. But that's it. And that's why they're fighting so hard to prevent what was just a shadow in 2020 from happening again down the road. Now imagine if people really turned out, if they really were empowered. But, you know, we're so cynical in this country that we are convinced if we don't get what we want immediately, it's not going to work, we shouldn't try it again. And voting really is the only way to make a difference. And I say getting out in the streets and showing some passion is another way to inspire people to do these things.
Yeah, it's like those truckers are still out doing it.
I guess they are.
Yeah, they went to Sacramento, did like a little rally thing, and then the mandates dropped, and then they started doing an anti-abortion thing, and now this happens. So
I think
they're making their way back to D.C.
They're just looking for a place to park, is what they're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much all they do. They bum for money, and a couple of them were on stream like bragging about going to a strip club like last night and stuff like that. After begging for money because they don't have enough money to do whatever they need to do. And a couple of them, they stopped in Portland. They stopped in the middle of the highway. They had a fire truck, and they took a water hose to what they claimed was Antifa up on an overpass and sprayed them.
They had a fire truck?
A fire truck.
How do they have a fire truck?
An old fire truck.
How do I get a fire truck? That would be so cool.
Well, you have that van, so.
Yeah, but I can't put out a fire with. I could start a fire with, but I can't put one out.
Yeah, and they also pulled out guns and started shooting.
Okay, wow.
There is actually video where you pan over, you can see one of them pulling out a sand color gun. There's one that's from inside of a car, where it looks like they just got a gun held up against the door and everything they're shooting.
Just at anything in particular, randomly?
They said Antifa was throwing rocks at them. I'm starting to think it's a put-on because, you know, the cops looked into it, and yeah, they found some casings and stuff like that, but, you know, all of a sudden, a live streamer on this thing starts saying, well, Antifa didn't decide not to press charges, and that don't sound right. So I'm just wondering if they kind of just made it all up, you know, just stopped in the middle of an overpass, say, hey, we'll meet here, and we'll do this, that, and the other. We'll just fire over your head and, you know, try to make the news with it.
Why would they want to make the news by firing guns at an overpass? So how is that good publicity for them?
Well, the way they've been putting it is like any publicity is good publicity, right? Even if it's bad. But they're starting to lose their funding from like online forces like Cash App and stuff like that. So they kind of, some of them are tripping over that. They also, apparently there was some, somebody's running for mayor or something, not Portland, but, oh, I can't remember. I think it was Olympia or something like that. It's a Trump guy. And one of them decided to go next to a campaign trailer, whatever. There's like this big boom, big explosion that sounded like somebody put a firecracker in a paint can. You know what I mean?
It
like
was
a
loud, yeah.
Cannon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just loud. And they tried to say, and people was trying to bomb the mayor candidate or something like that, and that never took off either. It's just sad. I mean, big name like organizers don't even show up for the meetings anymore. One got fired or something. Now like
can
the
I,
truckers are just doing their own meetings.
Can I just say, as the assistant to the regional manager of Antifa over here in Long Island, we're bored with them. We are. We've changed the channel. We've moved on. So whatever they're doing, not interested.
Well, they had like these. They took video of these four women like dressed up all in black with black masks and black flags, like dancing around in a circle.
Uh huh.
Saying that was Antifa.
I hope someone's making a film of this though. It's so entertaining.
I know. I should like try to put something together.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Well,
sounds like you have a lot of material.
Well, there's a YouTube channel called Meanwhile that covers this and does a lot of, just takes clips of them to say Meanwhile, and it's crazy. Another pedophile showed up live stream and
announced themselves.
All shady stuff altogether.
Wow. Well, listen. This has been a fascinating update. We're gonna move on, give some other people a chance to get through. But please give us a call in the future. Give us update on this.
All right.
Take
later.
Care. Bye bye.
Bye.
802-321-4225 802-321-HACK. You guys in Skype land, you're awfully quiet. You still out there?
We're here. And while we're waiting for another phone call, I'll just throw out there really quick that 2600 meetings are happening all over the place this Friday, including ours here in New York at the Citigroup Building, 53rd in Lexington, nyc2600.net for more info.
Awesome. Wow. They're happening everywhere, all around, unless otherwise designated on our website, 2600.com/meetings.
Absolutely.
You might need the .html.
Be safe.
I think you need the .html as well. But, yeah, it's there. And Every month we get more meetings coming back, which is great. And if you want to start a meeting, write to meetings@2600.com and let us know. Is Alex there? I see his icon, but I don't know if he's actually able to speak.
I think he's still listening in case he's not able to speak. I imagine if he wanted to, he could jump in and speak. But if nothing else, he's listening.
So weird.
If nothing else, he could write messages in the chat and we could read them.
I just see a sketch of his face, but that's it.
Yes, I drew that sketch.
Oh, well, that's really something. Maybe he can hit a touch tone or something. He's not on the phone, is he? There's nothing he can do on Skype. I don't get it. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel. Can you turn it up a bit? Emmanuel. Can you turn it up a bit?
You don't think you're loud enough right now? Because I think
I'm loud enough, but it's the voice was.
The
I mean,
problem,
you were doing it before. You were pushing a button.
Yeah. Well. Okay. The thing is, I push the button. This is what I do when we're getting a call. I push the button in, and I get lower when I push the button in for some reason because that's how the board works. If I don't do that, you see, I distort a little bit. If I don't do that, then you hear all the phone noise when Kyle picks up and hits a touch tone and all that. So, but then when I get a caller on the board, unpress the button, and I become louder again. And I imagine this is something that you're happy with. Is my level now good enough for you, Rebel?
No, your level's now good, but it's that when you're listening online, like I was listening to the last caller, but it was just low. I mean, you guys are hackers. I mean, you can't figure this out. I mean, I'm surprised.
Wow. Okay. Way to make us feel bad. Well, that might be a setting on the mixer thing. You know, we go through this every week, and it never seems to get better.
Yeah, if I turn it up, it's going to be too hot. And then if we turn it down, it's going to be not loud enough. Nobody's ever happy.
I think what happens, though, the best way to listen is in the archive, because and not on the YouTube archive, on the 2600 archive, because Jens masterfully fixes all the audio issues. So at least for history, for posterity, I think it sounds okay.
Well, you know, with your archive with the 2600 thing, I don't like that player, though. It's like... it's very little, small, and you can't really forward very, you know, you can't use your keys to forward that. Like when I was listening to like old Off the Hooks, you click on, you know, old shows or whatever, click on whatever show you want. It has this default player that you can't really, it's not that very, I mean, it's a player, it's good, but you can't forward and backwards that much.
It differs from browser to browser for one thing. And second, you can download the show and use whatever player you want.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're going to have a social engineering panel at the whole conference, right?
Maybe we'll see. You know, we're trying to fit in a lot of things, and you know, it's a lot of work. But actually, you know, I would welcome somebody submitting a social engineering panel because I'm not sure I've got time for that.
Oh well, I mean, I could do like maybe like social engineering like scam callers that people get.
I think you'd be perfect to give some kind of presentation for sure, maybe with a couple other people. Definitely do that.
Something with scammers. I mean, but the problem with that is when they're changing their phone numbers, you can't really call them. You know what I mean? Like they call you and then they call you from a phone number. You try and call them back, it doesn't work.
It's difficult to do live presentations. Go ahead, Kyle. What did you have?
I was just going to remark that, you know, one aspect of it is the ability to maybe do a social engineering panel beforehand. Maybe in other words, dispense with having it live. I know that's heartbreaking.
Well, you don't have to have all of it live. You could have demonstrations that are recorded because, you know, part of the problem we had with social engineering was calling places that nobody picked up the phone, or they weren't there at the time.
Well, it would be on a weekend, invariably at an odd time of day, and
you've got hundreds of people watching you, and it's kind of hard to make it work perfectly.
In a lot of places, it really deserve to hear from us, and I mean that sincerely. They might not be there, you know, during the weekend, and that's always been a bit of a hassle when we're pitching and talking about ideas and going back and forth on what would be really fun for that.
But you know, social engineering, the Department of Defense, best time to do that is like weekdays, business hours, and, you know, then you can record that.
Right. On this live show you're doing, you should have, like, a live chat, or do you not want to do that?
We're not live, though. That's the thing. We're actually recorded right now.
I would encourage maybe using irc.2600.net and going into the Pound Off the Hook IRC channel. That's a plenty good chat area if chat is your gas. But we're not going to do it on the streaming site. We'd prefer to just keep it where people have already been sort of going back and forth about the show.
I'm sorry, I was misinformed.
I'll just on a comment.
I was misinformed. Apparently we are live. I thought we were on tape. This was explained to me before, but I guess I misunderstood. This is live.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, of course this is live because I'm speaking live.
No, because... damn, I had this before. No, because if we're on tape, then you're on tape. Because we're in the same... We have an engineer here.
No, we would never tell Rebel if we were on tape with him.
That's right. We didn't tell him we were on tape.
Yeah. Rebel, you're actually... this is exactly how it's supposed to go. You're buying into it, and the plan worked.
Oh, good.
No, maybe I'm just a computer-generated voice that's calling you.
Yeah, you're an IVR system.
Yeah, it's definitely He's a deep fake if I ever met one.
Speaking of all that, and augmented reality or whatever it's called, what is it called?
Augmented reality.
Not augmented reality, whatever.
Hell?
It's intelligence. Intelligence like the artificial intelligence. when you you know that GoFundMe has algorithms that see whether why do some people make tens of thousands of dollars on GoFundMe, and like if I was to put I want $50,000 for me to go travel around the world or something. I mean, that wouldn't get anything. But if somebody else said, I need money for medical bills, then that gets thousands of dollars.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. You mean you're upset that you can't get the same kind of treatment for your travel around the world as someone else is getting for life-saving medical procedures?
Well, no, it's not really life-saving medical. Well, it's not like just life-saving. There are people who do for, like, weddings and for their wedding and for somebody that, is, I don't know, I think being sued or whatever, some store that is being sued or something for not remaining closed or something. They got all the support. Maybe because the media, it was on the media. That's probably why.
Yeah, how you get attention. That's what matters.
Does anybody know if you get that money immediately for, like, a GoFundMe? If you're
I think what happens is that you say, I want to raise $10,000, and then somebody donates with their credit card or whatever, they donate, and then you get, let's say, $5,000. It's in like a, not really an account, but like a thing. It'll say, oh, $5,000 of $10,000 was raised. And the person who's raising the money can take that money, they link it with their bank account, and just put it into their bank account.
Immediately. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But I think you have to pay taxes on it or something, or I don't know how
it's
that
income.
Works.
Income, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but how, they don't ask for your, like, Social Security number or anything.
I don't know. I've never done a GoFundMe, but I'm sure they do. I'm sure they take all kinds of info that they forward to the IRS or something.
Maybe you should do a GoFundMe to raise money for, like, you know, equipment and, like, better, you know, I don't know, things.
No, there's plenty of other people, I think, that really need to use those kinds of platforms.
Yeah, they really
need. And people seem to think that money will fix everything that we talk about, and that's really not our jam.
Yeah, we just have to be smarter.
I mean, money is involved in a lot of things, but it's not, like, just gobs of money would not make our show better.
No, it helped educate us so that we know what we're doing. Because, you know, we have yet to achieve that. That's for that.
Yeah. Hmm. It's like YouTube. You know how they have algorithms on YouTube to make, I made a video, and I put it like New York City before COVID-19. I did this like in 2015 or something. Went around and recorded things like Grand Central and Wall Street and Penn Station and different things around the city. And it got only like maybe 100 views or 200 views. But, I mean, some of the videos that I did, like when I got my first electric bike, that got lots of views. YouTube has this algorithm of what, you know, makes views, I mean, like to get better, more views or something, or...
Well, I think the goal here is to make Rebel viral. You know, if we can do that, then you'll have no trouble reaching GoFundMe for anything that you want to raise money for.
GoFundMe is the same thing as YouTube. They have an algorithm that, you know, like, you know.
So you want to figure out how to game sort of traffic, but through either YouTube or like a fundraising campaign.
Or like Google. Like if you have a business on Google.
Well, it's search engine optimization. SEO, search engine optimization. I mean, it's a thing. People do it for promoting their business and stuff, you know?
But it's like reviews. Like reviews. Like if I go to, want to stay at a particular hotel or go to a particular restaurant and I want to see all the reviews. They have a company that actually takes the bad reviews and puts them at the bottom. So if there's like 100 reviews of this particular business, all the bad reviews are at the bottom because then they know that people aren't going to scroll down and all the good reviews are on the top.
Rob, go ahead.
The thing with the algorithms on sites like GoFundMe, and I've worked on this sort of thing, I've worked on some Kickstarter campaigns and stuff like that, is that those sites themselves, their own algorithms don't have all that much influence at least in the beginning, because where you're going to get your traffic if you're running a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe or any kind of campaign like that is you need to post that link around on your other channels where you hopefully have audiences. So, like, if you have your GoFundMe, then you need to post that to your social media. You need to post that to forums that are into the sort of thing that that you're trying to raise money for. You need to get that traffic, pull it in yourself, because GoFundMe themselves, YouTube themselves, they're not just going to hand you traffic out of nowhere. You need to get interest going in your thing. And then once there's interest going in your thing, it might end up, like, going to the top of, say, the Kickstarter homepage or the GoFundMe homepage or whatever else in their, like, featured projects sections. So it's not as much about the algorithms on those sites themselves as it is the algorithms on everything else that you're using to bang the drum and get people interested in donating to you. You know, we can go on the radio where people are listening to our show and say support WBAI because it's important. Give to WBAI.org. You know, some of the people listening will be interested in that, hopefully, and we'll go to the site or call or whatever, because we are using the appropriate sort of venue to get that word out. You know, if we just put give2wbai.org up on the internet and never told anyone about it, that wouldn't do much for us.
If we put it on the Empire State Building, though, then all of a sudden we're exposing it to a lot more people.
Right, but when I got my new electric bicycle, I got thousands of views on YouTube when I reviewed it, when I, you know, posted it on. But then the New York City, like, I would think that me posting a video is called New York City tour or whatever, you know, walking around New York City, whatever, New York City before COVID-19, that got, you know, not very many views.
What happened is somebody with a lot of followers noticed your electric bicycle video and said, hey, people, you got to see this. You won't believe it. And a bunch of people went over and saw it. This person was not so impressed with your next video or didn't know about it.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry to say that.
But I don't have very many, like, subscribers,
a subscriber, though. So somebody who found it by, you know, either you told them or somebody you know told them, or they just found it randomly. That's how these things start. So I think the key is to make, you know, consistent quality, and if there is a fan base, then they'll keep wanting to see what you do next.
Well, but GoFundMe has this algorithm in there, like the people who donate to, like, the Ukrainian mission, like trying to help Ukraine, the people in Ukraine. They're trying to screen out the people who are scamming them. Like, if I put something, let's say I create something on GoFundMe saying, I want to go to, please help me go to Ukraine and help the people there or whatever, raise $10,000. Their algorithm will probably say, oh, that's probably a scammer. Maybe it won't. Maybe it will. I've heard it on a news report.
I don't think you need an algorithm to know that's a scam. I think anybody reading that would know immediately that was a scam. But, Rebel, let's do one thing. Then we're going to move on to another call. Tell us your YouTube channel name, and maybe people will hear it now and go to your videos.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I want to put content up. My channel is Richard Conti, my name, Richard Conti. There's also a Richard Conti at the store. If you just put Richard Conti, you know, it'll, that's the other thing. Richard Conti is a common name, so that's the name of my channel.
How,
I mean,
how do you
I could
spell
call
that?
It like,
how do you spell that?
It's Conti, C-O-N-T-E.
Okay.
Now, I could put Rich the Rebel. I mean, I could put that.
Well, you could, but maybe somebody else has that.
Right. But Richard Conti is, you know, the one that's the channel name. But now I just want to, I mean, I don't know what kind of content. I mean, I have things like going around New York City and things like that. And some interesting things like Flushing, Queens. And that got a lot of views. My, you know, recording different parts of Flushing, Queens.
You know, listeners out there, go to his channel and maybe tweet. Maybe tweet a couple links to videos you like. And maybe we can drive your viewer count up and then see what happens as you climb the ladder of YouTube success.
And the other thing with YouTube is they don't let you contact the user, the person who made the the page, the
YouTube
site.
How do they prevent you from doing that if you tell them who you are?
Not showing who. When you want to contact them to, like, email to say something like private but not on the public, each video has like a comment section.
Right.
If somebody wants to comment but not publicly, they can't comment to the creator of the YouTube.
You could give them your email address. They can comment to you that way.
Yeah, I could give you the email address, which I have.
Simple enough. Anyway, Rebel, great hearing from you, and we're going
to
move on.
And when I went to the 2600 meeting last month, there was nobody there.
Is that true, Rob?
I was there, and so were a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
So, make sure you went to the right place. Go to NYC2600.
I mean, there was people playing, bingo or something.
Are you calling us liars?
Someone on the other side of the room to us. You got to look around.
You got to go to the right part of the... First of all, you're going to the right building, right? You're not going to the old building.
No, I'm going to the one way we used to have it, where that Hue thing is now.
All right, if Rob says they were there, they were there.
Yeah, there was a bingo game going on in the room, but we were on the other side of the table sort of section. So, wander around a bit.
Are you sitting on
your faces, I'm sure.
Why are there bingo people there the same night we're there? What the hell? There's nothing more disruptive than
a drag
bingo.
Show.
There was what now?
April 1st.
There was a drag show going on as well, and I think the drag show was doing the bingo.
Oh, that was
although
disgusting.
I'm not entirely sure.
Wow. Well, that's going to be an interesting bingo, I'll say that. Rebel, good hearing from you. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. And I'm going to say one more phone call. That's it. 802-321-4225. 802-321-4225. There's the phone. I'm going to press the button now. And Kyle's going to press the other button. And we're going to do this seamlessly. And do we have a caller? Okay. Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Is that Bobson?
Yes, sir.
Bobson from Bulgaria. What a great way to end the night. How have you been? Oh, look, Alex is here alive. Alex is. Did you make it back home, Alex? Or are you on a train still? No, he's shaking his head. He still can't speak. I don't believe this. Bobson, so how are you?
Well, all right, I guess. May the fourth be with you.
Yes, and to you.
And also with you.
I hope you have more to say than that.
Well, I was... Let me think about it. I may have something to say, but I can't think of it.
You didn't think of it before you called us. That would have been the time to think about it.
Well, yeah.
I've got Bobson here thinking, in slow motion, and I've got Alex who's mouthing things, and I can't hear him. This is the show. Look at this. He's typing things, and they last on the screen. You see this, Kyle? They're on the screen for like 5 seconds, and they're gone.
Yeah, Alex is asking about Russian oil not going to Bulgaria now.
Wait, we're supposed to convey messages from Alex who's there on the screen, but for some reason can't talk. And read them to Bobson. Okay, go ahead. Read the question.
Excuse yes, there's there was an interruption in the supply of petroleum.
I heard that Bulgaria is also extending its mechanical repair expertise to busted military equipment from across the border in Ukraine.
You heard that, or Alex heard that?
No, I heard that reported from the Kiev Independent, I believe.
There's another message on the screen there from Alex.
Well, yes.
And it's gone.
There's a lot of broken.
There were decisions made about support to be extended to the Ukraine.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Assistance and all that.
Yeah, they're really doing what they can, and I think that's great. That's, you know what, there's probably a lot of broken stuff, and there's probably a lot of people in Bulgaria who are like, yeah, we can fix some stuff. We'll do that. Bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it back out there. So... Alex just wanted me to let you know, Bobson, that he had a Bulgarian Lyft driver in Chicago this week.
What? A Bulgarian
okay.
Lyft? Oh, Lyft. I thought he was on like a forklift or something. Lyft. Okay, now I get it.
Yeah, Lyft. L-Y-F.
Yeah, yeah. Spelled
it's a brand.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any comment about that? Do you know this driver in Chicago? Obviously.
Yeah, because all Bulgarians know each other.
All know each other, but you feel free to...
No, not really.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to let Alex know you have no further comment on the
I'm not saying
driver.
I don't know the person, but it's person, it may not be.
Yeah, what was the person's name, Alex? I mean, how are you supposed to know, you know, if you don't give a name?
All right, let me delete that. I'm going to just say he may not know him, but he might.
Wait, why are you saying that? Alex can hear us. You don't
I
have
know.
To retype what we're saying on the radio, because...
No, I was just typing out loud, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's for effect. I was trying to be...
Look at that. Alex is completely frozen, or Amtrak has stopped. I don't know which it is. And now it's gone. Unbelievable. Alex, please never take Amtrak again during our show. It's
Alex just says Dave.
Oh, Dave was his name. Okay. Do you know Dave Bobson? A Bulgarian named Dave.
Nope.
No, he does not. All right. Anything else? Any
That's
other thoughts that
That's
you might
sure.
have over there? What time of day
what
is
happened,
Let's start with that.
What happened with DST on your end?
Daylight savings time is in full effect right now.
Well, yeah, except maybe it isn't.
Well, it's going to stop. Not, are you asking if we decided to keep it and stay in daylight savings time? People were talking about that, but I don't think it's going to happen. I it's a stupid idea to start with.
Well, I think you started it for a couple of weeks in March, and then you reverted to standard time. So
no, that did not happen. No, we went into daylight savings time, and then we stayed in daylight savings time, and we'll stay there until, I think, October.
Well, not the way I see it from here, but oh well, it doesn't matter.
Well, you're in Bulgaria. I'm here in America, and I think I know how time works in America. Sorry, I don't mean to sound so... you know, so gung-ho there, but...
yeah, that was, like, pretty self-righteous.
Well, time is something I take personally.
Just back off a little.
Look, we're gonna keep doing the same thing because it's a stupid idea. You know why it's a stupid idea to have daylight savings time all the year long? Because the morning, and people don't seem to realize this, will get very, very dark, and kids will be waiting for school buses in pitch-black dark. I know because I was one of those kids when we tried this in the past. It's a stupid idea. People will complain about it immediately. And we just wind up going back. If you want to do anything, keep standard time. It'll get dark earlier. That's fine. You know, I don't really care if it's you know, light at 10 o'clock at night. And that makes a bit more sense. It's called standard time. There's a reason for that. So if you're going to do anything,
yep.
do that.
Yeah, that's what we did in the EU earlier this year.
So you guys are on standard time forever now. You're not going back to daylight savings.
Nope.
Okay. Which means that there is a difference in time now between you and us, which wasn't there last year, because you would be on daylight savings time as
yep.
well. So how many hours difference? It's 9:13 here.
It's nearly 4 a.m.
Well, it's got to be 3:13, I would say, right? It's not really nearly 4 a.m. It's.
Let me see if I can look it up.
Yeah. Making Bobson work here to look at the clock. Which in Bulgaria is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Where do you keep your clock?
It's on my computer, which is locked in a way that makes it not visible.
They make portable clocks now, you know.
Well, yes, and I'm speaking to you on one of them.
Yes, you could just look at that.
It's 4:15
a.m. Oh, wow, so it's 7 hours difference now. That's different. Okay, it used to be six, now it's seven. All right.
Yeah, because... Oh, well, yeah. It's something like that.
And I guess when it's standard time, when we fall back, that means it'll be 8 hours difference? Is that what's going to happen? Because it'll be 8:15, right? And it'll still be 4:15 with
here. Well, geographically, it's 7 hours difference in terms of time zones and such.
You're not Central European time, though, right? Central European time is another hour, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're Eastern European, and that's what makes me think that you people went back to standard at some point after switching to summer time for a
few
weeks.
Well, if they did, nobody told me. And in fact, there have been days when the time has switched and I haven't even known about it because everything switches automatically.
Okay. Yeah, that may be the case.
All right. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation about time. It's something I'll think about. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I think I'll wait for the closing thoughts for a few decades and all that.
Yeah, you said that before, too.
Yes, I know I'm repeating myself.
Any concluding remarks for this evening, Bobson?
Well, I can't come up with anything better than May the 4th be with you, so, well.
Again, also stated multiple times, but it's good hearing from you, and hopefully we'll hear from you again.
Technically, it's the 5th there.
All right. Yeah, it is the 5th. What gives?
Well, it's the 5th here, but not there.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
There you go.
Well, okay.
Do you get that over there? I don't think
well, so. Some parts of Europe probably have it, like Spain and Portugal and places like this, mm-hmm. but not around here.
All right, then. Good hearing from you.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Hi. Stay in touch. Thanks for listening and making a call. We'd love to catch up.
Yes. Take care. All right, and that's going to do it for us here tonight on Off the Hook Overtime. Boy, what an ordeal these two shows were. Thoughts from you guys out there in Skype land, including Alex, who I don't think we can actually get his microphone to work?
Thoughts from here. Abortion is a human right. Trans rights are human rights.
Reproductive rights are human rights. Fight. Donate. Do something. But get angry. It's okay to get angry.
Yeah, I just want to say everyone knows that...
Everyone knows that life begins at a social security number.
There you go. Yeah, that's how you know. All right, I see Alex's face there, but we can't hear him. So he's waving, and you'll have to take our word for that. We'll see you again next week, and hopefully nobody will be on a train. Good night.